from KQED. This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Danielle Venton. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has opened an investigation into PG&E's filings for its wildfire-related losses. PG&E revealed the issue yesterday in a regulatory filing. This is the latest in a series of federal and state inquiries into the utility's finances, operations, and corporate culture. Joe Grunfest is a former commissioner with the SEC. He says the investigation could take months to years to complete, and isn't all that unusual.
It's now a relatively common scenario where when there's a major event, the SEC will come in and examine whether the company properly disclosed the risks leading up to the event and the accounting and other factors following the event.
But Jamie Court, president of Consumer Watchdog, a nonprofit advocacy organization in California, says the possibility that PG&E misstated its wildfire liabilities will decrease consumer confidence even further.
I think for a company that is trying to work its way back into the public trust, this is possibly the worst possible hit it could take.
PG&E declined to comment on the investigation. State water officials announced they are formally pulling the Delta Twin Tunnel project and will instead seek a single tunnel to carry water to users further south. KQED science reporter Kevin Stark has more.
It's a major shift in one of the largest public works projects in state history and means another environmental review. That could take 3 years. One beneficiary of the tunnels is the Metropolitan Water District, which serves 13 million people in Southern California. General Manager Jeffrey Keitlinger says while it's a step back, he thinks the project can still be finished on time. That will mean designing the project and reviewing its impacts simultaneously.
That doesn't have to be a delay if we parallel track a lot of the activities.
Keitlinger says the current system will be threatened further by climate change as sea levels rise and floods and drought worsen. For the California Report, I'm Kevin Stark.
California's controversial high-speed rail will be up and running between Merced and Bakersfield by 2028. That's according to the first update on the project since Governor Gavin Newsom shifted focus to the Central Valley. KQED's Alex Hall has more.
The latest estimates project the Central Valley stretch will cost $18.3 billion. Russ Fong, the High-Speed Rail Authority's chief financial officer, says funding is secured.
The goal is to get trains on a track as soon as possible and work on a project that literally ties with the funding that we anticipate having.
What the report does not say is when the bullet train is expected to connect San Francisco to Los Angeles. Part of the uncertainty comes from the Federal Railroad Administration's threat to cancel about $1 billion in grant money. The High-Speed Rail Authority has asked the agency to reconsider. A spokesman for the Federal Railroad Administration says it is still reviewing that request. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hall in Fresno.
In Bakersfield, a school district employee is in jail after multiple students accused him of sexual assault. Four lawsuits now claim the district knew about the abuses but did nothing. KVPR's Monica Velez has more.
Attorney David Cohn represents four women who all say a North High School athletic equipment manager, Edwin Rodriguez, made sexual comments about their bodies and asked for sexual favors.
These are not what I would call isolated or one-off event. Rodriguez clearly had a pattern of trying to groom these young women by befriending them, by offering them sodas, candy, driving them around a golf cart.
Cohn says Rodriguez would take students out of class and clear their absences, and that an administrator or someone in the office must have noticed Rodriguez was doing this.
You have to ask yourself, how is it that an equipment manager, he's not a coach, he's not a teacher, is able to pull a student out of class?
Cohn says at least 10 other students have come forward with similar stories. Current high school district officials say they can't comment on pending litigation. Rodriguez's bond is set at $175,000. His attorney did not respond to a request for comment. The next hearing is set for July 16th. For the California Report, I'm Monica Velez in Bakersfield.
Video released under the state's new police transparency law shows a man in psychiatric crisis charging at an officer with a knife in hand, but he wasn't shot. It was a split-second decision by police not to use lethal force when they could have. The records come from Menlo Park, south of San Francisco. KQED's Alex Emsley has more.
It was about 3 a.m. on March 20th, 2017. A manager at the Stanford Park Hotel had called police. Corporal Dennis Weber was the first one there. His body camera captured him approaching a group of employees standing outside.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
The guy that helped them clean is in the kitchen, and I believe he's suffering from mental illness.
Okay.
So he has a knife in his hand.
The manager says he's hoping to get the man some help. Officers Galen Fleege and Alan Swanson join Weber. They learn the man, later identified as Silverio Posada, is Spanish-speaking, and they decide to wait for an officer who can translate. But Posada suddenly comes out of the restaurant with a large chef's knife in his hand, striding toward the officers.
He's coming out with a knife.
Drop it!
Drop the knife now!
Officer Swanson shoots Posada with a rubber bullet, breaking two ribs.
Drop the knife now! Drop it now! Less lethal!
Posada breaks into a run. Swanson later wrote in a police report that he was bracing to be stabbed as he shouted to the other officers to shoot.
Shoot him! Shoot him! Shoot him!
At that instant, Fleege and Weber both fired tasers, instead of their guns. Posada can be seen on surveillance video falling face first at Swanson's feet. It was a split-second decision. Posada, who is diagnosed with schizophrenia, later said he hears voices telling him someone was out to hurt his brother. He says he attacked the police to protect his brother. Prosecutors charged Posada with attempted murder and felony assault. Doctors split on whether he was competent to stand trial. The case ended with a plea deal and a 7-year prison sentence, which he's still serving today. District Attorney Steve Wagstaff.
We're hoping they've got him on a regimen of medication that can help him deal with the schizophrenia and help him live a normal life. But if he's just sitting there doing time, then I fear for what the circumstances would be when he's released.
This isn't a law enforcement story at all. This is a story about the mental health system failing.
John Snook with the National Treatment Advocacy Center notes Posada's family was trying, but unable to get him help. He says prison won't likely be much better.
We, for some reason, say, well, hopefully they'll get treatment when they're arrested. And the reality is, it's the single worst place to provide mental health care that you can think of.
Posada will be eligible for parole in about a year. For the California Report, I'm Alex Emsley.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, helping low-income Californians get the health care they need. On the web at chcf.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
That is the sound of beloved character Chewbacca from the Star Wars franchise. The actor who originally played him, Peter Mayhew, died yesterday. No cause of death was given, but his family said in a statement that Mayhew put his heart and soul into the role and developed lifelong friendships with other Star Wars actors and traveled around the world to meet his fans. Fans will be able to attend a public memorial service in early December at a Los Angeles Star Wars convention. Mayhew was survived by his wife and 3 children. He was 74. And that's the California Report for Friday, May 3rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Katie McMurrin, Seal Muller, Jim Bennett, and Rob Spate. The rest of the staff this week includes Lily Jamali, Polly Stryker, Michelle Wiley, Sonia Hudson, Peter Arcuni, Raquel Maria Dillon, Nina Thorson, Vinnie Tong, and Ethan Lindsay. I'm Danielle Venton. Have a great day.